Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm the illegitimate son of Bubba Ray Dudley and your gracious host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my gracious co-host, my brother Doug.
Hey, what's up?
And our good friend Eric.
What's up?
What's up, guys? How is everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. It's a weekend.
Hell yeah, it is.
No work.
And we got one tonight, boys. Top 10 WWE superstars of the 2010s. One of our only current shows that we've kind of been able to do here on Unscripted, and that's great. Get to talk about the current product of the last 10 years. Before we get into that, Doug, you want to hit them with the plugs?
Absolutely. All right, got to make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday, Friday night, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Usually, right after wrestling, so about 10:15, 10:20 Eastern time, they will be on tonight, as far as I know. Listen to us every Friday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Next Friday night, we got a big show ahead of us. We are gonna do a kind of a roundtable discussion on southern territories. We got some guests lined up next week. Right now, confirmed, we have our old buddy Rod Price is gonna be back on with us. And kind of a first time guest we're gonna have on with us, Joel Deaton. Will be joining us next week. Still working on a couple more, or trying to work on a couple more. I'm waiting for an agent to, get back to me. We need to call Paul Heyman and have him just handle all these agents for us.
I mean, seriously.
But that's coming up next Friday night. Listen, are you doing Control Chaos this Sunday?
I might.
Okay. If it happens on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern time, Daniel's Controlled Chaos. It's been a very busy week for both Daniel and I. So, we had stuff planned that, we were going to do for the Patreon and all that, but football's on tomorrow, and it's both of my teams
Yeah, football's on Sunday, too, so we'll just put the kibosh on Control Chaos.
All right.
This Sunday.
Yes. So Control Chaos.
Probably until after the Super Bowl.
Huh?
Josh, he's going to the Super Bowl.
I said probably put on hiatus until after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, something like that.
We could probably do that. All right. Next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, join Eric, Clinton, and I. Well, at least Eric and Clinton. I might be on the show. It depends on if we take another wrong turn down Bristol Road.
And if your teams win.
That's another way to put it, too. For the NFL Hard Hit Show, we'll be reviewing the wild card, previewing the divisional. I think that pretty much does.
It'll be a fun weekend.
Oh, patreon.com/EUpodcast.
Yep. All right, guys. Top 10 WWE superstars of the 2010s. Our period here that we have is basically from 2010 to 2019, the end of 2019. This is going to be a fun one. I'm excited. I know you're excited, Eric.
Yeah. Yep.
These lists are going to be
We don't talk about current product really that much. So this
right.
should be interesting.
Because we usually leave it up to a poll. But I actually let the two of you have the decision here. We have to do kind of a fan vote on this and have a fan's top 10, but unfortunately, I didn't know what Dan, you know.
Yeah.
Because you were with me all week. Daniel and I, the only time Daniel and I have not seen each other this week is when we're both in the shower. That's how much time we spent together this week.
Oh, boy.
So it's just been a busy week.
We shower together too sometimes, but that's another.
Only when one of us has a really dirty back and needs somebody to scrub it.
Yeah. Top 10 WWE superstars of the 2010s. Eric, I'm going to have you start.
Okay. My number 10 is actually a woman. Becky Lynch.
I mean, that's a very good
selection. Becky Lynch. Yeah, Becky Lynch is one of the most over women in the industry. The way she turned around her, I wouldn't say turned around her career, but from what she was to how she, the rise of her from, what was it, 2017,
18, 19? Yeah, it was 2017 when she finally turned that new leaf. Because, you know, even when she won the SmackDown Women's title in 2016, nobody really gave a damn.
No, because Alexa kind of stole the thunder.
Yeah.
But
she started rising in 2017 and then 18, and then 18 is where her peak, and then 19 too. And then, of course, in 2020, we all know it was all hectic, and obviously she got pregnant, and she's on the
list.
She had a baby.
I'm sure it's on a list somewhere.
Yeah.
And she had her baby.
Here's the thing about Becky. She came in 2015 as part of the Divas. Because, again, like, I think a lot of our lists are going to be, like, of people that spent a lot of time, like, in this decade.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be, like, Batista, who spent, like, 6 months altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, like, who was around for a year.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's hard. Especially
it might be
somebody
that has Batista.
What happened?
He said that. I'm thinking Stevie has Batista. And the thing about Becky is, I'd say, honestly, and I don't mean this as a negative comment, because all four of these women are great. But out of the four horsewomen, she probably is the least skilled in the ring, to be honest. Because Charlotte's a pro. I hate Charlotte, but she's a pro.
Right.
Sasha's amazing.
Yep.
Bayley's very good. But Becky is the best promo of the four. Becky has the most charisma.
Yep.
Becky is the best character. And the whole man thing and the female Steve Austin and all that, it was a home run. Of course, WWE had to screw it up, but for a while, that was white hot. She was the top person.
Yes,
in
it was.
Not the top woman or the top anything else. She was the top person in the company at that time. Like,
yes, she was.
Who was your number one guy? I mean, she overshadowed Roman Reigns and all that, all those guys. She was selling the most merch.
And her.
It got to the point, though, to where, like, she was running out of people to work with.
Well, yes. Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, the match with Sasha was amazing. Was that 2020 or 2019?
That was 2019. That was Hell in a Cell, right?
Yeah, that was 2019, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that was good.
And, like, she could have gotten more, I think, out of this program with Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
More, you know, if they would have
transitioned that too,
better work with Bayley a little bit, that could have worked.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, keep her away from Fatso.
Keep her away from Nia.
Yeah.
And Lacey was just too green at the point to really do anything. I like Lacey Evans, but she
wasn't
ready.
I like Lacey Evans too, and like Peyton Royce now would be somebody that Becky could work with.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know when she's scheduled to come back?
I have no idea.
I don't think she'll be back for a while because here's the thing.
They had the baby, right?
Yeah. You have a baby, and then, well, one, you have to be on maternity leave for at least 2 months. But because of how demanding Becky's job is, she's going to have to be on there longer. Because who the fuck is going to stay? Because when you're both on the road, who's going to stay and watch the baby?
Yeah, because, and it's not like,
unless you take the baby with you.
And it's not like Triple H and Stephanie, where Stephanie works to the company, but more of a backstage role, so where she could probably stay home and do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I believe, works at home.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I believe.
But yeah, but to me, I agree with you, Eric. Becky definitely deserves a place somewhere around there.
Yeah.
She didn't make my list, but I agree. I agree with that.
You want me?
I mean, fortunately,
you want me to do Stevie?
I mean, unfortunately, like none of the women really made my list. I mean, and that's
just, well, that's not me being a sexist pig. That's just me thinking.
One other person made my list, though.
One, I forget. I forgot that, you know, 2015 and 2020 is when the women's evolution really took off.
Yeah.
Because I'm a boob. But. All right.
You want me to reveal Stevie?
Sure.
It's Batista.
And listen, I don't want to make fun of this because if you
well,
do
one, he's not, it's one he's not here.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't want to make fun of this. But the other reason, if you look at, but yes, Batista was only there for like what? He left in 2011, right?
No, he left in May of 2010. I mean, he came back in 2014, but even that didn't last long.
But if you look at those, the program with Cena was very good before he left.
Yeah.
I really liked that program with Cena. Neil Batista was good.
Because you finally got to see the real him.
Yeah, when he turned heel, was it late 2009?
Yeah.
And then,
when he beat the shit out of Ray?
When
you remember watching that? Because we got that paper.
You remember how fucking upset I was?
Yeah.
Because he was my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, you could not understand. Again, I mean, you weren't like a baby. You were 12.
Yeah, still young, but.
Because then, like, you still were. I was about 13, 14 when I started kind of understanding the inner workings.
Yeah.
Of wrestling,
like I knew it wasn't real, but
like started to understand like a lot of the backstage shit.
Yeah,
you were around that age too when you started, started asking more questions about it.
Yeah,
I mean, like you wanted to know like more beforehand, but I was always just like, it's fine, just watch it and you'll find out for yourself. But you started to learn more because we started teaching you more about it.
Yeah.
But even being 12 years old, you were still like, why the fuck? You know, it always breaks your heart when your favorite guy.
Yeah. Especially as a kid. You just see, it's like, why is he bad now? Like, Batista's a hero.
When Sting, or when the NWO did that thing where they made it look like Sting turned heel.
Yeah.
I fucking bawled.
Really?
And I'm like, I went out and I started crying to Dad, I don't understand what, I don't know why this happened. You know, I'm actually crying, right?
Yeah.
The phone rings. And Dad answers it because Dad doesn't know what to say, right? He doesn't want to say, he's like, because he always said, it's not real, but he didn't want to be like, it's just a work.
Yeah.
Because, I'm only 10 years old at the time. Papa called.
Yeah.
And Dad answers the phone. He goes, hello? And he goes, put Dougie on the phone. He goes, yeah. He goes, he's really upset right now. He goes, well, put him on the phone. I just saw it too. Put him on the phone. So I get on the phone. And I'm like, oh, Papa, I don't know what's going on here. You know what? Sting has to turn heel. And the only thing Papa said to me was, Eric Bischoff is a jackass. And then at that point, I'm just like, what are you talking about? And Papa's just like, just trust me, it's Bischoff's fault. And I didn't understand it. And then he said, all right, go back to watching it and I'll talk to you tomorrow. And I'm just like, I couldn't figure it out until later. It took a while, but like, no, even being like that, the point is that when you're young and you see your heroes do something bad, it fucks with your head.
Yes, you're right. And before we move on, let me say a positive story about Batista in this era, because I know you don't like Batista because you read his book. Yeah. But, and you think he's a bad person. We like Batista's work, though, right? Like, you can watch Batista's
work. I like Batista's work, and to be honest, I loved him in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, he's great at that
movie. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
There was another movie he did.
Yes.
I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was actually, it was a movie with him and Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot, too.
The name of it's only like a 90-minute movie.
It's like an independent movie. It's like the Warriors, right, where they got to make it home from something.
Not necessarily make it home from something. Not that they have to fight through cities. It's RVD is a an Army vet or a Marine vet or something.
Yeah.
And Batista was one of his guys.
No, yeah, but Batista was like a strip club owner now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's basically. This mob boss put a hit on RVD and his family. His RVD killed this guy's brother or something like that, and he goes to Batista asking for help.
Yeah.
And Batista's just like, I'm not under your command anymore. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
But it was actually like for a God, I wish I knew the name of that fucking thing.
I know what you're talking about, though.
It was. I don't even know like where you can watch it now.
It used to be on Netflix.
But like, that could actually be a good idea for us to review for, like, a Patreon or something.
Wrong Side of Town.
Yeah. If you're able to find the movie,
yeah.
I do recommend you watch it. It is actually a really good movie.
Yeah, it is a good watch. Now, the Batista story I wanted to tell, because this says a lot about him as a person. He comes back in 2014, right?
Yeah.
Wins the Rumble. It's going to be him and Orton at WrestleMania. But unfortunately, there's another young man that's killing it in the business and the fans would rather see instead. His name is Daniel Bryan.
Right.
So we know what happened. We know how we don't really know how it happened, but we know the fans kind of, you know, took over and Vince finally listened and boom. Obviously, in the main event of WrestleMania, Batista, Orton, and Bryan, and Bryan wins. Batista was one of those people that went to Vince and said, this isn't right. People don't want to see me and Randy. I've heard that from numerous sources on numerous different times that Batista even said, this isn't what's best for business. These people love this guy.
Well, the original plan was that all this was supposed to be Punk. Punk was supposed to wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Punk was supposed to beat Triple – or actually, no, I don't even know if he was supposed to beat Triple H at WrestleMania. But there was supposed to be an end game where it was supposed to be Batista and Punk at SummerSlam that year. With Punk going over.
Yeah.
Because Batista was going to turn heel of, you know, in the midst of the title run. He was going to win the title as a babyface, then lose it as a heel.
But even he went to Vince and said, this isn't going to work.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was going to do the whole thing with Punk, but when Punk left, and they didn't know what else to do, yeah, you're right, Batista did say, nobody wants to see this, so just, I'll job for whoever,
yeah.
Or I'll job for Daniel Bryan, because they want Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And, because the poor, they turned on Rey Mysterio, that Rumble.
Yeah, they turned on Ray, well, they turned on Ray and Batista pretty bad.
Well, yeah.
They both got booed to all hell. But the thing about, what's awesome about it is that selfless decision gave us one of the biggest WrestleMania moments of all time.
Right. No, I 100% agree with you.
So if anything else, we should commend Batista for that in this era. We'll move on now. Doug, what do you got?
My number 10?
Yeah.
Roman.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I kind of looked at, like, longevity,
yeah,
like, in that era.
Yeah.
And Roman came in 2012 as part of the Shield. I didn't like Roman Reigns at first.
Yeah.
I thought he was the worst worker in that group. And you know how, like, I always bitch about Test not selling and all that?
Yeah.
Roman Reigns, there was an episode of SmackDown
Roman Reigns got hit with Big Show's KO punch.
Yeah.
He got right up and walked out of the ring.
Did he really?
Yeah. Roman Reigns could not sell worth a damn. And this was around the time where, you know, you still had to sell.
Yeah.
See, now it's just with so many of these fucking false finishes, you don't have to sell anymore.
Yeah.
So, Roman was dog shit to me. But then they did the whole thing in 2014 where they really started to build him.
Yeah.
I mean, and then things kind of got stalled because he had the hernia. Then the shitty people in Philadelphia booed the shit out of him at the Royal Rumble.
God.
Eric could have stopped the whole thing, but he just didn't
have
to.
No, he could have done.
Roman was just unfortunately dealt a bad hand.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sucks when people just don't like you. Because if you think about it, he's a better in-ring worker than Cena.
Yeah.
Now, he's got more than 5 moves. Yes, right now, Roman Reigns is one of the top guys in the business. Roman's heel run has made me a believer. I love Roman Reigns.
This is probably what they should have done.
Yeah. And people were always saying it, but with this heel turn and the way they did it, he would be, like, very close to the top of my list right now. Because Roman Reigns is on a whole other level. And in 2020 and 2021, the guy is fucking smashing it. He's doing great. As far as this era, he was kind of force-fed, you know? And it's not anyone's fault because they wanted him to be the top guy. Fans didn't like it. So... But you got to think, a lot of those matches that he had were good. They just had bad crowd reactions, so you can't get into it, you know?
Right.
So I do agree with him being here because he was the guy. You know, he main evented, what, 4 WrestleManias?
It had to be, what, 4 or 5 in a row?
Yeah. So I mean, the guy's legit, too, but and he's a tough son of a bitch. And he has really good matches. You know, I remember when I first looked at Roman, it was like, holy shit. Was the trilogy, not trilogy, but the back-to-back matches he had with AJ. When AJ first came in.
Yeah.
Those matches really made me a believer.
Well, because here's the thing. Even when he won the title at WrestleMania that year.
Yeah.
First of all, that whole WrestleMania was just, the matches were good, but the finishes were mean.
Yeah.
You can always say, and I've said this before, you can always tell when Triple H was not a fan of working with somebody,
yeah,
or not a fan of putting somebody over because the match just dragged.
Yeah.
Like, the match he had with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30, for some reason,
That match was good.
The match was really good. So, like, for some reason, he was okay with Daniel Bryan. But two guys that came out of his developmental system, you know, NXT, Roman Reigns at 32 and Rollins at 33, those matches blew. And Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns were guys that came out of his system.
Yeah, but can you really say that is just he doesn't like them or maybe he's just getting old?
The match him and Stephanie had against Kurt and Ronda the next year was fine.
Yeah, but that's also a tag match.
Yeah, with Kurt Angle, who should have hung it up 10 years ago.
But can still out-wrestle half the roster.
Yeah, but then have to fucking use 10 inhalers to get his breath back.
He's still one of the best workers.
Yeah, unless he's working with Baron Corbin.
That wasn't his decision.
Well, but it was a tag match. Yes, it was a tag match, but Kurt, who's a little slower now. Ronda, who was just having her first match.
Yeah.
And Triple H's wife.
Yeah, but you're expecting different things out of that. That wasn't a master class of wrestling. It was just a fun event because you got to see Triple H get bitched around by Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, but the match,
it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was actually the way that match should have been.
It's not like him and Rollins, like him and Seth, it just dragged. It didn't suck, it just dragged. Him and Roman, yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that either. But to me, that's another one where the crowd completely took me out of it. Because no one gave a fuck. No one liked it. No one wanted to see it. So why should I?
If nobody wants to see something, they're not going to care.
Yeah. And it's hard for the viewer to care if you got a dull crowd.
Yeah.
That's why adjusting to this pandemic stuff is kind of crazy. But
well, see, I like the Thunderdome, though, because the Thunderdome kind of...
Yeah, it gets loud.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes, Roman's had great matches.
I think you're up, aren't you?
Yes. And get ready to talk more shit.
Uh-oh.
Because at number 10, I have someone who's just that damn good. Dolph Ziggler.
Okay. I don't like Dolph Ziggler. Okay. I think he's another one of those guys that is a horrible human being. And
why?
Well, let's see. I mean, first of all, he comes off as a douchebag. Like that arrogant face. It's just like, dude, if I see you walking in the middle of the street while I'm driving, I'm going to hit you with my car.
Yes.
Like, now, if Dolph Ziggler does get hit by a car tonight, I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm not in Tampa, Florida, so I cannot be blamed for that. Just to clarify. But Dolph just seems like one of those types of people that it's just like... He really is the Shawn Michaels of this era. He's the 90s Shawn Michaels of this era. As in, like, he knows he's good. He has no problem telling people that he's good.
He's a show-off.
The only thing that – the only difference here is that Dolph's not pop – is not on pain pills. All right? The pain pills are what made Shawn a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Dolph's just got that piece of shit personality.
Yeah, but and we do got to kind of say here because Dolph's a company guy, and he's a workhorse for WWE.
He
always has been. And he seems like a very loyal, very – hardworking. You can't compare him to 90 Shawn Michaels because 90 Shawn Michaels was a lazy piece.
Right. And here's the thing. For as many times as they've start and stop this guy's push, the fact that he's still loyal.
Yeah. He can win AEW.
I will give him that. Because for as many times, like if WWE were to fuck me over as many times as they fucked him over.
Yeah.
You know, I would have been gone a long time ago. See you, fuck you, bye. Especially if a place would have offered me more money.
Right. And the thing with Dolph is, the only critique I have about his in-ring work is he sells a bit too much. he can oversell. But the guy's fantastic in between the ropes.
Yeah.
His promo's not terrible. He's a douchebag.
Yeah.
You just looking back to some of, I will never forget believing in Dolph Ziggler in that Survivor Series match against the Authority. That was his moment. That was a genuine moment for him when he was when he was the sole survivor when Sting came back.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
The only thing I hated about that finish is the fact that Seth Rollins sold a zigzag for 10 minutes.
No.
Like, he got hit with the zigzag, and he was out, and then Triple H came in, Pedigree Dolph or whatever. Sting came out, and it was 10 fucking minutes. Nothing else had to be done to Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins just laid there.
Yeah.
The zigzag, people kick out at 2 on the zigzag now.
Yeah. You're just throwing a guy back to the ground.
2 seconds.
Yeah.
Not even 2 minutes.
Yeah, first of all, amazing chemistry with The Miz.
Yeah.
Him and The Miz, two Cleveland boys, amazing together.
Yeah, who, by the way, did not even know that they grew up 10 minutes from each other.
Yeah, but and the SmackDown, right when they did the draft and they went to SmackDown Live, those matches those two had were phenomenal. Well, Ziggler's the face and
Miz is the heel.
That those matches were great when Ziggler was wrestling for his career and shit.
Yeah, and then because they didn't want to send Dolph somewhere else, they had him win, but then they had him drop the title to Miz like 3 weeks later.
But the ladder match was really good too, though.
Yeah. That TLC 2016 pay-per-view is actually a really underrated pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why, obviously. I mean, there were some matches on there that should not have been on there. And some people on that show that should not have been on there. Corbin. Nikki Bella. But that match, yeah, you're right, though. The two of them have amazing chemistry. And another person Dolph actually has amazing chemistry with that you would not actually think that is Kevin Owens. I know you were going to say Kofi, too.
Oh, yeah, I was going to. I had Kofi in the back.
And to be honest with you, he had really good chemistry with Cena.
Who's there? Yeah. Yeah, they do. And, yeah. I mean, the guy just has a great work rate, and he was really good. He never got to the pinnacle in this era, but he's one of the guys that really helped shape this era, especially yeah. athleticism-wise. And in the ring.
Well, I mean, he did get to cash in the Money in the Bank.
That was awesome, too. That was one of the loudest pops I've ever heard on a SmackDown. Are you kidding me?
No, that was on a Raw.
Oh, on a Raw? But so, still.
That's basically one of the things that stamped the night after the Raw after WrestleMania as like the most must-see night of the of the year.
When he came out with AJ and Big E and he cashed in that Money in the Bank, that was nuts.
Yeah, and the thing is,
he was a heel too.
Yeah, had he not been concussed, he would have had the run.
Yeah,
because they were actually him and Swagger and Del Rio were supposed to have a ladder match at that Extreme Rules.
Yeah,
but because Swagger is a dumb fuck, kicked Dolph in the head too hard. You know, Dolph had to miss it. I mean. And first of all, if anybody does have, you know, Jack Swagger on their list of the time, I understand why.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to roast you.
Yeah.
But
and you know I'm a huge Jake Hager fan.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Like, AEW, not WWE really didn't book him well back then. No. But AEW has the proper booking of him now.
Yeah.
So I can actually, even though I still think he's testicular cancer,
yeah.
But I can get behind them doing what they're doing with him.
Well, the big hurt undefeated MMA fighter thing, that works for him.
Yeah.
But their discount Kurt Angle didn't work for him. And that's all WWE ever wanted from him. They saw he was an amateur wrestler, so they put him in a singlet, called him the American, whatever the fuck that means. And then, you're discount Kurt Angle. Have fun.
Right.
And people are going to make fun of your lisp, too.
Yeah, a redneck Kurt Angle because he's from Oklahoma.
Yeah. Of course that wasn't going to work. And Jay, he's not on my list. But him and Ziggler.
He's not on my list either.
But
they had better chemistry as a team.
Yeah, they were a good team with Vicky.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to number 9.
You talk about three people, though, that I hated. Like, I swear to God, like, that was basically, I have a feeling Vince McMahon knows who I am.
Yeah.
Because putting those three together, that's basically flipping me off.
Yeah. All right, Eric, who's your number 9?
My number 9 is Bray Wyatt.
Ooh.
And because when he stepped, when the Wyatt family, that was over, WWE just booked them bad, I think, sometimes. But they were over. Bray was over. And even when, because when The Fiend started, it was, 2018? No, 2019.
No, it was 2019, Eric.
Okay, so The Fiend started 2019, and he got over with that. So, and he's been a hard worker, and loyal. He could have left at any point, but he's been loyal, and he's my number nine.
Well, I mean, yeah, Bray Wyatt, the modern-day Undertaker, probably.
Yeah.
One of the greatest promos in the
Yeah, the match of Undertaker.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. But his... yes, the booking was awful at times, a lot of the time with Bray, but his character always shined through.
I think, though, that that's going to be the common for, like, this list. Because in this area, the booking, in this era, the booking was, like, not good.
Great.
But that actually poses a question, though.
To me, though, it really wasn't that bad. This was just the worst era of fans. Because you guys bitch about everything.
Well, yeah. But also, too, because see, now, like, everything.
It's a generation.
Yes. Imagine if a lot of these guys were back in, like, the. In the 90s or in the 80s or 90s, and these guys are getting booked by, well, obviously Vince is still booking them because he doesn't know how to just go away.
Roman Reigns would have been huge in the territory.
Okay, but like imagine the dining room or Vince McMahon's dining room table, and you have Vince, Pat Patterson, and we'll go back to like the late 80s, early 90s. So it would have been Vince, Pat Patterson, Howard Finkel, J.J. Dillon when he got there, and Gorilla. Gorilla Monsoon.
Yeah.
And probably Pritchard if he were around. Imagine those guys booking like Roman Reigns and Dolph Ziggler and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
They would have gotten over huge on television.
And yeah, and I get that point. But Bray Wyatt was always entertaining to me. Whether booking or not, I still did enjoy a lot. This era wasn't as... I mean, the PG era has been fun. It was brutal. But there was some good spots, too. And Bray Wyatt was a very bright spot. And his characters were awesome.
Yes, he was.
His matches with Cena were great, even though everyone buries that feud because he should have went over.
Yeah.
He was just always a great character.
Now, here's the thing, though. Everybody always blames Cena for it, but was it really Cena's fault, or did Vince just say...
No. I wouldn't blame Cena for it, but that's just the way it ended up being booked. All right. What's Stevie's number nine?
R-Truth.
Okay. I mean, R-Truth...
I can see.
Yeah. He's been around for a long time.
Stevie's going by the longevity thing.
Yeah. And he did have that little put. Remember that Capital Punishment pay-per-view with him and Cena?
Oh, my God. That was 2011 when they tried to turn him heel.
Yeah, but then he ended up getting more over with the little Jimmy thing. That was good.
Yeah, because they made him look nuts.
Yeah, but that was cool.
But see, he was funny, like, with the whole little Jimmy thing. Like, I remember one time he was working against Kane on Raw. And he's just like, Kane's got the fire, because they did that little side promo thing.
Yeah.
Kane's got the fire, he's got the flames, and he's scary. And then he just looks and goes, who the hell am I talking to? And he's looking into the camera. And it's just like, are you serious here? Jesus Christ. But he was funny.
He was
funny. And he's still funny.
I mean, he's like having a career resurgence right now. The 24/7 title has made Truth more over than he's ever been. Was the thing with Brock and Heyman in 2020 or was it 2019? Because I'd love to talk about
it. I think it was 2019.
Okay. When he came out about because Brock was going to go in the Rumble?
Oh, yeah. So it was the start of 2020.
Okay. But it was – I'm still talking about it. Yeah. And he comes out and – because he's announcing, but R-Truth comes out to announce he's in the Royal Rumble. And for some reason, he thinks Heyman's joining the Rumble, not Brock. So he's going out, he's like, I'm going against you, Paul Heyman. And I remember watching it with Doug. And Dougie's face and Paul Heyman's face when he said, you, Paul Heyman. And then he's like, wait, you're not in the match? And Paul's like, no, I'm not in the match. And he's like going, it was so funny. And so R-Truth does have those comedic segments. He has been a very good hand, I think, for the WWE.
Yeah. And he's loyal.
Go ahead, Aaron.
He just said he's loyal.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, and that segment actually helped, again, it really helped with that career resurgence or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was something like Brock had a hard time keeping it together.
Yeah, he looks like he was laughing.
But, like, they're always telling us, don't laugh on camera, don't smile, don't, you got to be this asshole that, you know, doesn't, like, that's just emotionless.
Yeah.
And he was just, because Brock actually got in trouble. They're like, you were not supposed to break, you know, you were not supposed to break character. And he looked at him and said, then you shouldn't have brought Truth out to the ring.
He started giggling when he said, that's what's up, right?
Yeah.
He was like, that's what's up. No, I actually don't mind R-Truth being on this list because he is a boob, but I do enjoy R-Truth a lot. I like it when he's on the team. He's still good. Even he's like 50.
He is funny.
Yeah. And he's got like 4 or 5 kids.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, he might actually be a grandfather now.
He's a grandfather. There's a lot of layers to that onion. I remember the picture of him and Tupac that was circulating the internet for a long time from back in the day. He took a picture with Tupac.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, that's it. Remember the Money in the Bank, the lead-up to Money in the Bank 2015? I think it was 2015. He comes out, and he's like, at WrestleMania, I conquered my fear of ladders. Now, Money in the Bank, I'm going to go up and I'm going to grab that briefcase. And Kane, corporate Kane, goes, Truth, you're not even in the match. He goes, I'm not? And Kane's like, no. He goes, are you sure? He goes, yes, I'm sure, Truth. I booked the match. He goes, oh, my bad. And he walks away.
Or what about the stuff when he was talking about Cena being his childhood hero and everything?
Well,
even though he's older than
that.
And he's older than him, isn't
he? He's older. Truth was born in 75.
Yeah.
When was Cena born?
When was Cena born?
Yeah, so he's older than him, but he's like my childhood hero, John Cena. That dude is awesome. His work is, it's always been, it's not been bad. He's very athletic.
He's very athletic, but I don't think WWE wanted him to be athletic. They hired him at first for his athleticism, but then they found out how fucking funny he really is.
Yeah. He's very good comic relief.
Yeah. I mean, he has been a bright spot, I think, through this whole pandemic.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of WWE's comedy kind of falls flat sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's all Vince.
Right.
And his sense of humor isn't for everybody.
That's good shit, pal.
Yeah. But I think Truth's the one thing that's just always funny to everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, this dude's fucking hilarious. Yeah, let's move on. Because we're almost an hour in and we've only gotten through 2 picks.
My number 9 is New Day.
The New Day?
Yeah.
You chose a team?
Yeah.
So we're just doing whatever
I wasn't sure if you had to choose a team or you can choose a team or not.
I see that now, but I just wrote it down. I did the list within 10 seconds yesterday because
that's why we'll combine ours then because Kofi's my number 9.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah, and again, because I was going to put Kofi by himself, but then it's just like, you know, in 2014, they got together. And
well, that's why I chose Kofi, because that push against Randy was in 2009, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but he had good matches with Ziggler in 2010?
Yeah, 2000. Yeah, 2010 into 2011. Kofi's another one that kept getting the start and stop push.
Yeah. And then, of course, he had his big moment a couple years ago. And that was amazing. And he took the ball and he really ran with it. And they rewarded him by having him job to Lesnar in 15 seconds. But he had a great championship run. And Kofi has constantly proved himself as a legitimate pro.
Right.
I have nothing bad to say against Kofi.
I have nothing bad to say about any of them. I mean, at first, when they first came in, they annoyed the shit out of me. And our jackass co-host here knew they annoyed the shit out of me, so he rooted for them at every point.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I did?
Yeah, you made sure to kiss their ass at every point because you knew they annoyed the shit out of me.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. When was this?
Like 2015. Yeah, every person that you know I hate, you managed to make sure that you cover their ass with your lip prints.
I don't do it on purpose. I just happen to like them.
Some of them I question. But see, like 2016, 2017, even when it looked like they were getting stale, they came out with a new product, like the fucking cereal.
Yeah.
And the pancakes. And all that unicorn
shit. That was fun.
So fucking stupid.
But every bit of it got over.
And every bit of it sold, too. I mean, the Bootios, the cereal really wasn't that bad. I bought a box.
Yeah, I remember.
Karen wanted to kill me.
They were the highest selling merch for WWE for a while, weren't they? Like, even over any superstars, they were selling the most merch. And
that's why they got the host WrestleMania the one year.
Yeah. The New Day, I mean, they're amazing. And I think Big E's only destined for great things, like we've seen, obviously. New Intercontinental Champion.
Right. And Xavier Woods, like, if he doesn't do anything else in wrestling, he's got the video game thing.
Yeah. Which, I mean, obviously Woods is the weak link. Anybody will tell you that in this group. But he's still entertaining and good. And him with that fucking saxophone or trumpet or whatever the hell it is.
The trombone.
Yeah. Francesca.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. He might be the weak link in the ring. But again, he's got that social media following with the whole video game thing. And he's going to be on G4.
Yeah.
So he's got all that to fall back on. He could be a TV personality if he wants to be.
Yeah, he's charming enough.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to number 8, because we combine that. Eric, what's your number 8?
My number 8 is Charlotte. And here's why. I mean, she's probably the best. I mean, I'm not a fan of Charlotte. I used to be, and I'm indifferent, I guess. She got stale the last, like, 2 years for me. You can't deny her work in the ring. Can't deny her title runs and her storylines she's been in. And, of course, she's the daughter of Ric Flair. But that's not here or there. But she's probably the top woman in the company right now. Even though she's not in the... She's not... Is she back?
Yeah. She's one of the women's
tag. She came back, yeah. She came back with... I forgot that. Yeah, so... Yeah, so she even won a tag team title. So, yeah, there you go. Charlotte, enough said there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I agree.
I don't want to praise her too much. So.
I don't really... Here's the thing. She is really good. Okay? I don't like her father. Mainly because her father... her father is, he's a glory whore. Or a glory hog. Right? And he basically... He comes back when he needs money. even if it's just like a short TV appearance, but he'll still make like $2,000 if he's Ric Flair.
I'm not talking about Ric.
Well, which is fine. I'm just saying is that like I'm not going to discredit what he did in the past because Ric Flair was a hell of a talent. I just feel like, and I think it's actually WWE's fault that they used it. They dried up that cow.
Yeah, they did.
To where it's expired milk now. And I just hope that they don't do the same thing with Charlotte. Like, when she's done, they leave her alone. And they just let her live her life. Like, they should have
left her. I think she will.
When has it come back and it's not entertaining? Even the stuff with Randy this last time was good.
I hated that.
That was good TV.
Oh, bullshit.
That was great. The whole on Christian, and then he ended up punting Rick anyway.
Which I actually cheered for because I hated what Rick did to Christian. So
yeah.
When he got kicked in the head, I'm like, oh, finally, that he'll be off TV now. And then he came back and he drove the fucking ambulance out of the... I don't necessarily blame him because he does what he's told.
Yeah.
But it's just... when guys really don't have much more to offer, let them sit at home. But getting to Charlotte, though, Charlotte is, to be honest with you, I think Charlotte's actually a better worker than her father. Okay? And now I don't like her because, to be honest with you, I just picture her as Rick with boobs. but she does have really good matches. But the issue is, she's not a good baby face because she's 6 foot tall.
Yeah, and she's also one of those people that you want to hate.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: you can't deny what she does in those ropes. She's the best four horsewoman. Yep. She's the women's wrestler. She beat Trish Stratus obviously at SummerSlam. She's better than Trish Stratus has ever been in the ring, and you can quote me on that. I know everyone loves Trish Stratus. Yeah. I love Trish Stratus too. But if you talk about pure in the ring wrestling, Trish Stratus never really had more than a 15-minute match.
Trish wouldn't have lasted in like Hell in a Cell or a ladder match or anything like that.
And it's a different time, so that's okay. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying Charlotte does what she does.
You're acting like me right now.
Well, I'm actually talking about the subject. I'm not talking about her father. Charlotte does what she does, and she does it
well. I'm talking about the attitude toward the women.
Why? I'm pushing a woman right now. I'm saying Charlotte's amazing. What she does in the ring, she's better than most guys on the roster. Let's put it that way.
Her and Becky.
I agree with that.
But I'm just saying in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, what she does in the ring is better than most dudes. And she's got her father's ability to make anyone look good. I saw a match with her and Dana Brooke, and she made Dana Brooke look good.
Yeah, which is not easy to do, by the way.
All right, let's keep on chugging here.
Stevie's, right?
Yeah.
Stevie's.
Since he's not here.
Stevie number 8.
This is number 8.
Huh? Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. He's on my list. He was great in this era. He's great in every. He's the GOAT.
Yeah. Well, you can't really say anything bad. I mean, I could if I wanted to.
Yeah, but it's Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Man.
I still love Jericho to this day.
Yeah.
I mean,
his
funny.
Theme is awesome.
Now.
Yeah, he's hilarious now that they let him be himself.
Yeah.
But even, I mean, the list. Come on, the list.
Just made the list.
He made Kevin Owens pretty much
with
the best friends thing. Those two were hilarious. And his stuff's always... And honestly, if they would have went with the original plan for those two to main event that WrestleMania instead of bringing Goldberg back and all that shit and doing what they did with Reigns and Taker, I think it was.
Yeah.
I would have been okay with that being the main event. Because that was a great build for the two.
Right.
And Yeah, Chris Jericho's just great in any era. I mean, there's been times where he's kind of fell to the waistline a little bit, but there's also been I mean, if there's only one critique on Chris, it would be that some of his WrestleMania matches don't live up to the hype.
I agree.
That would be my only critique, because in this era, he had WrestleMania matches with Edge, AJ Styles, CM Punk. Who else? With Kevin Owens.
Rock? No.
Okay, well, I'm not putting that down. But those four, I mean, and all four of those matches were good. You know, just good.
Yeah.
They were great. So that would be my only critique. But besides that, Chris Jericho is one of the greatest of all time.
Even now, he's still, like, if we do, like, if we're still on the air in 10 years, well, first of all, Lord help us.
Yeah.
But we'll be talking, like, the best of superstars of the 2020s. And Jericho's still going to be on there.
Yeah, he will.
And because now, like, even the stuff he does, when he's on the AEW commentary team, I did, like, you can't help but listen.
Yeah, he's great.
My favorite thing was when Tony Schiavone said, John Moxley's number one in the PWI 500. Jericho goes, what? Because what was funny about that was you actually thought that was me, because he sounded exactly like me.
Yeah, I was like, well, what's wrong?
You were just, yeah, you thought I was bitching.
Has Jericho ever been number one in the PWI?
If it was, it was in 2008.
Okay.
Who, Jericho?
Yeah. You want to go with my number eight?
Yeah, what's your number?
It's longevity.
Are we just not going to do a tag team list?
I'm guessing.
I mean, yeah.
You can do the worst. Top 10 worst.
If I knew we were going to do tag teams, I would have put the Usos in the New Day.
That's yeah, me too.
Superstore?
Top 10 Superstore moments.
Superstore moments. Definitely when Grant, Garrett and Dina getting together, but that's for a Patreon.
But, yeah, I mean, the Usos are legit. They're amazing. I mean, even the stuff they're doing with Roman now is very interesting. So,
when they went to the whole Uso penitentiary thing, like, when they changed the gimmick up, that helped.
Yes. Well, when they first started doing the tribal shit in the beginning, in the fucking, that stuff was really cool. And it was really entertaining. Then they started they put them with Roman then a little bit. So they started getting the Roman heel heat. A little bit, so that's when they had to do the Uso penitentiary.
Yeah.
And then there was a resurgence for them, and they've been great ever since.
I think when they first won the titles in 2014, and they had the matches with Swagger and Cesaro, and especially, you know, when they worked against the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
That stuff was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, their stuff with American Alpha was good.
Yeah. When they went to the Uso Penitentiary stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I know this is 2020, so I won't talk about it too much, but if they did top 10 people of 2020, or even on PWI 500, Jay should make the list. Jay should make a top 10 list. Jay really impressed me this year. Jay's work in the main event with Roman and everything to where he is at now. I always thought Jimmy was the guy in that tag team. But Jay has really shown something.
Right.
Jay, I mean, he's a great wrestler. He puts on great matches. He's a good promo. And I love that story with him and Roman. So I like the Usos a lot. Let's go to my number eight.
Yeah.
Wait, we're on number eight already?
Yeah.
Okay. Randy Orton.
Oh, wow, okay.
First of all, Cena's not on my list. because of what we were saying about the ruthless aggression era and stuff. I don't think Cena did enough in the 2010s. One guy I do think still did was Randy Orton. You can say what you want about authority stuff, but he was good in that role. He was a good heel top guy for under Triple H and everything, and he did that role well.
Well, when he started, when the 2010s started, Randy Orton was supposed to be this huge villain, and Ted DiBiase Jr. was supposed to be the babyface.
Yeah.
But the fans dictated as Randy was actually starting to be cool because everybody started singing along to the Voices theme.
Yeah.
And, you know, the RKO, everybody loved the RKO and all that.
Yep.
So the fans dictated, said, no, we want to cheer Randy.
Yeah.
Fuck these other two guys.
Well, those other two guys weren't going to be destined to do much anyway. A couple of ham and eggers.
I was just going to say, one of them is a priest in Mississippi.
The other one fell out of the business, right?
The other one...
never ended up doing shit.
The other one is... he's a suit.
He is a suit, I guess.
Hey, who became a priest?
DiBiase.
It was between...
And who's the other one?
Cody. Who do you think we were talking about?
Cody can't be a priest.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Cody, but then you were saying something else.
We were talking shit. We were just fucking around.
One became a priest. The other one became a... Actually, it's not even really a suit. It's more of a fucking trench coat. Turned into a suit.
It really is. It looks good, though. I'm not going to lie. It does look good.
But to me, when you think of trench coat, you think of pervert in a park.
Yeah.
Which Cody would not make a pervert in a park, because Cody, I don't think... Well, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so Randy Orton. I thought he did a lot this era.
My life flashed before my eyes today.
Yeah, he's on my list.
Hey, he's the one guy. He doesn't mind putting over young talent. He never has. He likes working with the Bobby Roods and the younger guys.
The funny thing is that they make it sound on camera that he hates putting over the younger talent.
But he likes it.
He likes it. I think what he hates is he hates putting over the guys that he's gone up in the – that he's, you know, been in the business with for so long.
Yeah. But I've always liked
Randy.
He's
never missed a live time. He's always there every week.
Yeah, but still that's not that frequent, it feels like. Feels like
it hasn't been in a
while. Orton has been on our TV a long time. For a long period of time.
Yeah.
Even more than John Cena lately, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I like Randy Orton better than John Cena. I always have.
Yeah, me too.
All right, number sevens. Let's kind of try to go through here so we can catch up to SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. That's in 25 minutes.
Yeah. I don't want us to lose our demographic.
Right.
Right now we're the demo gods.
Yeah. All right, Eric, go.
I got The Miz.
Well,
another longevity guy, another hard worker. He's loyal. I mean, he had that run. I mean, in 2011. He's never complained. He's always there. He takes his role and runs with it. He's had a good couple of tag teams with Ziggler, obviously Morrison. Owen, was he with Owens or Big Show? Is it Big Show?
Big Show. Which they came that tour. Good.
Yeah.
Him and Big Show.
That actually worked. That was actually pretty good. And then he had his stuff with Shane McMahon and then Daniel Bryan. That didn't really go anywhere. I mean, I'm surprised it didn't take that anywhere to another level. But, yeah. The Miz has been one of those guys like Randy Orton. Been there a long time.
Yeah. I mean, The Miz has always, like you said, not just loyal, but he really is a company guy to me. Miz, you know, he always goes out. He's kind of like another John Cena, except the heel version of that, because he does a lot of the charity
yeah.
stuff. Does a lot of the like they send him out to the radio shows and stuff, and he'll do a lot of the morning shows and stuff for him. And he does a lot of the
publicity. And he has his own show.
Right, and he's got his own show because he is one of the funniest motherfuckers on the face of, like, but he's that funny guy that, like, you put in front of a TV camera.
Yeah.
Not in front of a, like, yeah. you would lose.
Yeah.
Although Miz, like, there was a promo he cut on Twitter when he was going against Baron Corbin at that one Survivor Series. And he said to Corbin, he goes, you know, that is the best promo I've ever seen you cut, and yet it was just on Twitter. It wasn't in front of a live crowd, which is what your job is.
Who said that?
Miz to Corbin.
Yeah.
So listen here, Twitter guy. And it just kind of got me thinking of like a scene in Lethal Weapon 4 when Joe Pesci's on the phone and Mel Gibson says, "You're real tough when you're on the phone, aren't you?" And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, telephone tough guy right here." And I was just like, holy. Yeah.
Well, Miz is the best promo in the business, and he's been that for like 5 years now.
Yeah.
Miz, incredible heel promo. Miz has always been great on the mic. Yes, his title run to start off the era was ass. Not all his fault, though. And he deserves another one. He needs to get that title soon. I mean, obviously they're not going to give it to him because he just lost the briefcase. But
no, he got the briefcase back.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I fell asleep. But he, I mean, Miz is probably the best mid-carder WWE has ever had. Right. And he deserves to be back in the main event soon. So I agree with that. That's my number 7, too. We can get past that.
Okay, cool.
Stevie's.
Stevie says Ziggler.
All right, well, we already talked about him, so can...
Yeah, go ahead.
We just blow. All right, we already talked about this guy, R-Truth.
You got R-Truth?
Yeah.
All right, who's your number 6, Doug? Or Eric?
Eric's number 6. What is it?
Roman Reigns. We already talked about it.
All right, we already talked about him. What's Stevie's number 6?
Rey Mysterio.
Okay. All right, so we have to stop and we have to talk about somebody.
Little Rey Mysterio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, little Ray. He's been amazing for a long time. I mean, this isn't his best era. But, he had that little title run in 2010. It was 11.
It was 2011. It was too short, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was. But it was the only good thing about that Fatal 4-Way paper. Him winning the title.
Yeah, it was actually in 2010, by the way. I'm staying corrected.
Yeah. And
in 2010 was the stuff he did with Punk.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. The WrestleMania match was too short. The Extreme Rules match was kind of, it was okay.
Yeah.
But the Over the Limit match.
Yeah.
That was amazing. When he cut his hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, Gallows and Serena were trying to stop him from doing it, and that's when Kane came out. It's just like, I mean, that pay-per-view, that over-the-limit pay-per-view should have sucked, but it was actually a really good pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good. And, I mean, it's Rey Mysterio, man. He always deserves to be on.
Exactly.
This wasn't...
Unless it's Jericho. Then he really doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. So who's next? Is it your turn now?
Yeah, my number 6, Orton.
So, we already talked about
him. Yeah.
I think my number 6 we haven't talked about yet.
Who's your 6?
Daniel Bryan.
I can see that, and I don't have an issue with that.
I mean, yeah. He's...
He's on my list, too, obviously.
Oh, yeah, because you're in love with him.
I don't like his ring work as much anymore. I do think at one point he was one of the greatest pound-for-pound wrestlers in the world.
Well, he can't do much now because of the bad back.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Because if he moves the wrong direction, WWE's going to make him retire again.
Yeah, and that's fine, and he serves his purpose, and Daniel Bryan is still entertaining. And he's not a terrible promo. It's not amazing, but he's had good promos. And yeah,
he got better.
He's the most likable person on earth, pretty much. Yeah. He just seems like a nice guy.
We don't have one tomorrow, right?
No.
Oh,
are you already sleeping now? I like Daniel Bryan a lot. He was the last real big movement in WWE. That stuff in 2014, that was...
What about that whole Occupy Raw thing that he did? Where he had everybody come in the ring?
Yeah. And he was just... he was truly the man that year. And, of course, the injury kind of fucked that up. But he's a constant professional, and he's going to go down. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. He's living legend.
Exactly.
And he genuinely was one of the greatest wrestlers in the world when he was in ROH. So for our fans, definitely check out his
definitely.
Older. That shit's great.
He was the godfather in there.
Yeah. All right, Eric, go ahead. Number five.
My number five is Seth Rollins. Another great wrestler. I mean, I don't like him as much as I used to. He became stale to me, his character, after the whole authority figure stuff. He became meh. But you can't deny his in-ring work either. He's accomplished a lot of stuff, especially with the authority, and turning his back on the Shield, which I think, again, it shouldn't have been him. Should have been Reigns. I think it should have been Reigns, but that's not here or there.
Well, that would have made more sense.
Yeah. But, yeah, and his WrestleMania cash-in, one of the greatest moments of all time. He cashed in the Brock versus Reigns match. He had a good run with the title. His match with The Fiend wasn't especially the Red Hell in the Cell. That's a moment we shouldn't be talking about ever again. But yeah, nothing much more to say about him. He's Seth Rollins.
I mean, he definitely marries well.
Yeah. I mean, he's great in the ring. I fucking hate him, but I do understand why a lot.
I mean, he's overrated now.
Well, the Monday Night Messiah stuff was kind of
good.
I like his Jesus stuff. I don't like babyface Rollins. He's so bland and he annoys the shit out of me.
Here's the thing. I can overlook all this whole Monday Night Messiah shit and him trying to act like the Reverend Jim Jones.
Yeah.
Don't the man bun.
For the love of God. And saying that I haven't had a haircut in a year, so I know I look like Bozo the Clown in the morning and all that, and I got the bald spot, so my hair is not the greatest, but hairstyles just bug the shit out of me. I swear to God. Like, the only thing that could make this guy even more irritating to me is if he wore a backwards hat.
Yeah.
But you can be Reverend Jim Jones all you want, just take your hair out of the fucking bun.
Yep.
What's Stevie's pick?
He has him for
Stevie.
There's a computer in front of me. Too.
Number five, he said?
Yeah.
The Big Show.
Big Show?
Yeah. I can see why. Stuff with authority, I guess. And he's been a loyal guy, too.
When he turned... What? When he turned heel?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, first of all, he's turned heel so many times. Heel and babyface so many times. It's too hard to err.
45, by the way.
It's
45.
Like, it's hard to care.
He's had more turns than a fucking NASCAR race. He'll even tell you that his booking's been horrible. It's always horrible.
Yeah.
I like Big Show. I've always liked Big Show, and he was good. Yeah. He was not good in this era. I'm sorry. This is one thing I can't really ship. What did he do here that was that amazing?
I can think of one thing that I like.
The tag team with Jericho. I'll give him that.
That was 2009.
Oh, never mind then.
When he had the world title run, when he went against Sheamus.
Oh, because
that Hell in a Cell.
He had a world title run?
It was way better than it should have been. I forgot how good that match was.
Because it showed both guys, like, because these are two guys that, like, the match should have only gone, like, the match went almost a half hour.
Yeah.
And they each kicked out of each other's finish at one point. Like, when Sheamus kicked out of the KO punch, like, Jim Ross was like, what the hell did we just see? And JBL was like, we saw a warrior, JR. We saw a warrior. Tell him, Michael. Tell him.
Yeah, but I do like Big Show, so.
I do, too. I mean, Big Show, too bad his Netflix show didn't last, only lasted the one season.
Yeah. Well, it did suck.
Yeah, I like Gabriel Iglesias. Still better.
My turn, right?
I have me first, right?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sheamus.
I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
Longevity, and in 2012 was the best year of his career. Then he kind of had that resurgence, you know, when he turned heel. What really, I think, helped him was teaming with Cesaro.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, like, they started saying, we don't just set the bar, we are the bar. And I started making fun of them because I thought they were just a couple of boobs.
Yeah.
So I made fun of their catchphrase. I actually said this when I used to be on THC. I said, they don't just touch the boobs, they are the boobs. And then I got yelled at for making fun of Cesaro, and it's just like everybody else is going to shut the fuck up.
But yeah, Sheamus has been very consistent, so I can see that.
But at least he doesn't have to walk anymore.
Also had a great program with John Morrison.
Yeah. He was good at that. You know, he won the King of the Ring, which was kind of
Well, the last match with John Morrison.
Yeah. So yeah, he's definitely.
He's done some
things. Yeah.
All right, my turn. Sasha Banks. She's my favorite out of all the ladies. She. All right. Bayley is kind of her own enigma out of the four. I think Bayley's really good in her own way. Charlotte's the best wrestler.
She's my favorite.
Charlotte's the best wrestler. Becky's the best promo. But Sasha is the total package in every way. And I'm not talking Lex Luthor. Not Lex Luthor, Lex Luger. She's got a great promo. She's a good heel. She's a great underdog babyface. You can love her. You can hate her. She goes hard in the ring. She can put on a great match with everybody. There's not much that Sasha Banks can do wrong. I mean, she threw a fit and left, took her ball and ran home, but I can get over that. She's always put on great matches. She's very consistent. The whole program with her and Bayley finally paid off, and it was worth it. But
yeah,
even though that's 2020, but for the women's revolution and everything, and I know it's not really longevity because she came on the scene in 2015, but she has been probably the most consistent female out of all of them. She's had the most consistent growth. Like, she hasn't really had a lull period.
Yeah.
She's always been very good, and she puts on great matches.
She does. I mean, I can't. Sorry.
I know you're tired.
Yeah. I kind of have a beef with her.
I thought you were in love.
Wait, what?
That is my beef with her.
with her, and because she happens to look like a certain somebody, that made me fall in love with them.
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to get into that.
That's my beef with Sasha Banks, is she looked like somebody that I ended up having a crush on, and then that person ended up, you know, breaking my bald little heart.
Aww.
That was our peak. She was hot. I had a relationship. That was our peak.
And then it all went to hell.
We both fucked it up at the same time.
And we said we were going to.
Yeah.
Well, but it took us a while.
Yeah. All right, we're getting off.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's for our Dear Abby podcast.
I'm going to start crying.
I got to hear this story.
No, we're not doing it. Not
on this show.
And we have like 8 minutes left. Eric, you're number 3.
4.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
My number 4. My number 4 is your man, Mr. AJ Styles. I'll let you take the floor here, because he's your man.
Well, don't... I mean, he's my favorite wrestler. We don't date or anything. I would think about it.
That's why your relationship failed, because you were sleeping with him.
Are you kidding me? With the money he makes, I would have left that. No, I'm just.
Does she listen to this show?
No.
Oh,
she can't stand my voice. AJ Styles is phenomenal. He's the greatest wrestler of our generation. He's not only got a great promo.
Aren't all those his taglines too? Like the phenomenal and greatest wrestler of this generation. Doesn't he all go by that anyway?
He goes by phenomenal. But I just think he's the greatest of our generation. And I've always thought
wrong.
I've always that's the one. I've always been a fan of AJ Styles since like 2002. So I was a little fucking kid.
Yeah.
And I saw him going against Jeff Jarrett. He came, I know longevity, because obviously he's on my list and we know where he's at. But he came on the scene in 2016, and what he did for 4 years, come on, man.
Yeah.
He had a great initial run with the year run. Great WrestleMania match with Shane McMahon that no one thought would be great, but it was amazing.
Well, it shouldn't have been great, by the way.
No, but it was. And he's had all these... He gave us the relief of finally ending the Jinder Mahal title reign.
Yeah.
He had
a year-long title reign.
Yeah, year-long title reign. His matches with Samoa Joe were fantastic.
And here's the funny thing about the Jinder Mahal bullshit. They had to put the title on AJ because there was no way Triple H was going to job to him in India.
Yeah.
So it was either... Because Triple H had even said this. Even though he's from India, I'm not putting him over. So either you put the title on AJ or I'm the WWE champion. And I don't think Vince was in that meeting because obviously AJ got the belt.
But yeah, to me, everything that AJ touches is usually gold. The guy is very consistent.
Yeah.
He's not underwhelming.
He'll probably get another title win soon.
Hope so. The man's great. All right. What's Stevie's number 4?
His number 4 is the one that just retired, Mr. WrestleMania Undertaker.
You know,
what else is there to say about Undertaker?
No, there's not. But if this was a ruthless aggression tier list, Stevie would have the best list out of all of us.
Yeah. And again, we're not going to make fun of him because he's not here to defend himself.
No, I'm not making fun of anything. I'm just saying that these were great wrestlers the generation before.
Yeah.
And... to me, Randy Orton was the only one that really kind of jumped in the 2010s. Undertaker kind of stopped. I mean, the program with Kane.
No, he had Truth on his list, didn't he?
Yeah. And I was really forced to.
And Jericho.
Nothing but the Truth.
In this era, you had the Shawn Michaels matches. So that,
yeah, one of them.
So that justifies it, I guess. And I like that one better, to be honest.
I know everyone says 25 is like the best match ever, but I like the retirement versus
25. The WrestleMania 25 sucked anyway, so
I disagree, but Undertaker's the man.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, my number four.
Yeah.
We already talked about him, Seth Rollins.
All right, very good.
Hey, happy to help, bud.
My number four is CM Punk.
I could see that. I mean, unfortunately, it didn't last long, but
I'll say this real quickly about Punk. He got frustrated.
Yeah.
And when you get frustrated, you leave. Now, you always... The difference between leaving in the wrestling business and leaving like a normal regular job is you always have to make sure you have somewhere else to go. Punk made enough money, he didn't have to go anywhere else. And he also made his wife stay there long enough to where she could make more money.
Yeah.
And then when he felt like that they both had enough saved up, he's like, all right, you can quit now. But
the Summer of Punk and the Best in the World stuff and everything, like, he really was the best in the world during that time. And
yeah, he was
fucking amazing. I was starting to fall out of love with wrestling at that time, and he brought me right back in. So
yeah,
CM Punk, yeah, he's short. I do think he is kind of he's a little whiny bitch. I don't like his personality.
Well, here's the thing: I called him the best quitter in the world. Because that's all he proved to be was, like, because here's the thing. I understand frustration, and I understand, you know, you not being happy, but they were going to put the title back on him.
Yeah.
The problem is that he was impatient, and he felt like if it's not happening now, then I'm out.
Well, I feel like that's another thing that led to the Daniel Bryan thing, too, though, so I'm kind of glad it happened. But, I don't like his personality because CM Punk seems like a dick to me. He's always.
I would not want to meet him in real life.
No, he seems like an arrogant asshole, and that's fine. But in between those ropes and on the mic, he is a great promo. Are you kidding me? He's a better promo than the Miz. He's probably the best promo in that generation.
I would agree with that.
His heel stuff.
I could agree with that.
Just the pipe bomb. Whenever he talks, it means something. So his promos were amazing. His matches were good. And he constantly got better at wrestling. So, yeah. CM Punk. Go ahead, Eric.
My number three is Brock Lesnar. I mean, what else? I mean, the end of the streak. I know he was only a part-timer, but he was over with the crowd every time he came out. He drew. That's why they always brought him back. He was Vince McMahon's moneymaker for at least 5 years. Good 5-year run. He was his moneymaker because brought him back every year. He main event at WrestleMania. Yes, he held the title and didn't wrestle a lot, but you can't deny his work in the ring. I mean, he's not the greatest wrestler, but he's entertaining to watch.
Oh, no, I agree.
So,
I 100% agree with that.
Brock, I know everyone here probably can talk shit about him, but he is a draw. He's got the big fight feel, and every time he's there, it can mean something.
And here's the funny thing is that, like, it's hard. I would never shit talk Brock Lesnar to his face. Because I'm pretty sure that he would rip me in half and then wear my body as a suit. Okay? Because he just looks like a mean motherfucker.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a fan of Brock Lesnar, but that 2014 stuff, where 2014 was his year.
Yeah. He beat the hell out of Cena.
Yeah.
He beat The Undertaker.
Yeah, which Cena had no... Cena obviously had no problem in doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. I'm going to sit out for the next few, or actually the rest, because my last three are Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho, AJ Styles.
Oh, okay.
So we've talked about Rod. What's Stevie's number three?
Cody Rhodes.
Oh, for God's sake.
When he left, yes. But everything he's done now, yes. I can't say his WWE run. I can't do it. And I'm not going to.
I can't do it either.
So let's just move
me
on.
Me neither.
Miz.
Yeah.
We already touched him, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't touch him. All right, who's your number two?
My number two is John Cena and Randy Orton. I mean, they're one in the same. They're both. They were both the face of the company for a long time. I mean, yeah, I can understand why you know can't put John Cena in here, but the start of the decade, his stuff with CM Punk was great. His stuff with the Miz was okay, and The Rock. I mean, he headlined WrestleMania with Rock twice. Stuff with CM Punk, as I said. And then the stuff with Brock Lesnar. It's okay. I mean, it was fun seeing him get beat up, but that was entertaining, of course. Even though I like him. Yeah, I mean, and then his stuff with Dan, I guess this stuff with Authority was okay. I put him number two. Because he's still John Cena. And then Randy Orton, we talked about.
All right, who's Stevie's number two?
Kane.
Okay. I mean, I could kind of see that for like the first half of the decade, but the next half, not really.
Yeah.
Kane was
pretty
better.
Much the same thing as John Cena.
Yeah, Kane's better. Kane's a better pick than like Show.
Right.
And stuff like that. Because he did still have memorable stuff. And Corporate Kane was kind of fun.
Corporate Kane was kind of fun. I love the Team Hell No stuff, though. So that was...
Yeah, that was great.
My number two was
he
actually...
He helped put Daniel Bryan over.
Yeah.
So,
yes, he did.
There you go. Yeah.
My number two, Cena. He just touched on it. I'll just say this. John Cena... I'll always defend my point that the Total Divas show ruined John Cena. They tried to make him
a dick.
They tried to make him into a dick because he was stringing Nikki Bella along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at it like this. Have either one of you two ever watched the movie Pretty Woman?
I might have. Maybe
okay.
Drunk. I don't know.
John Cena is Richard Gere. Nikki Bella is Julia Roberts. Although Julia Roberts...
Yeah.
I like Julia Roberts. So, John Cena is the rich guy. Nikki Bella is the hooker. That he pays to, you know, be his arm candy. Here's the difference, though. I think he basically Cena didn't really want a romantic attachment to Nikki Bella. John Cena wanted sex.
Wait, what the hell is going on here? No.
But Total Divas was just like, because John Cena even said, I'm not looking for something big here.
Yeah.
So the whole Total Divas thing where they're trying to make Nikki Bella into this innocent victim, it was bullshit, because first of all, she's not an innocent victim, she's a gold digger.
Yeah.
Alright? But the point is that Cena, in this era, it started out good for Cena, but then obviously, you know, other interests came about. Which, by the way, he is a really good actor.
Yes, he is.
Right?
Yeah, he is.
The movie Ferdinand is probably my favorite thing that he did.
I don't know. I like blockers.
Well, I like Ferdinand because I like animated movies, so. All right. Eric, you're number two because Daniel already gave his.
My number two was, I already gave it.
Oh, did you? All right, what's your number one?
Yeah, John Cena and Randy Orton.
What's your number
Daniel
one?
Daniel Bryan.
Oh.
Daniel Bryan. Yeah.
Stevie's?
Randy Orton.
All right, Doug, do you have a different that no one else has?
Yeah, and you guys are going to make fun of me for it.
Who's the number one wrestler of the 2010s?
Kevin Owens.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Kevin Owens.
Interesting. Okay.
The thing, he came in and he was so hot coming in to NXT.
Yeah.
They put him on TV right away
to work with Cena.
And he was going to get this gigantic push and all that. And he was supposed to be U.S. champion because he was going to beat Cena at that one Battleground pay-per-view. But what happened? The Office and Kevin Dunn. Because Kevin Dunn is a bastard.
Yeah.
Okay? So, but, like, Kevin Owens still persevered, I think.
Yeah, he's had a good run.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not number one worthy, but I just wanted to be different.
Yeah, I understand that. I love Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I like him too. All right, guys. That was our top 10 list. Does anyone have anything else before
that
we head off?
Just remember.
Go Bills and go Skins.
Yeah. Just remember to check us out next Friday night when we have the panel on the Southern Territories. And we'll have Rod Price and Joel Deaton and maybe one or two other people on.
Sounds good. All right, guys.
And Steve,
that's getting to watching the football team. That's right.
Yeah, not the Skins. All right, guys. That was the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Eric, Doug, thanks for coming on, and we will see everybody next week.
All right, I'm going to go home now.
Okay.
Yep. Later.
Later.
Enjoy your weekend, guys. Talk to you later.
Oh, we will.
Oh, yeah.